I thought I was in saying hold, so I didn't know.
Me, you there? Chris?
The cowboy, hello, I'm here.
Hello, Chris is here.
I'm right, I'm going to get the others on, and I think I'm recording. I just have to double check when everyone's on. Chris,
are we having a few technical difficulties?
Yeah, already. Chris, Chris and Casey, my friend Dave Meckler is in the call. He's one person that'll be on the show time to time.
Hey, Dave.
We've done introductions, but we'll do it again after because it's just taking so long. Hello.
No worries. Like I say, I'm on the move at the moment in a car, but I don't know if you can hear me, okay?
Yeah, you're fine. You sound good.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I got confused. I wasn't sure because, like you said, I thought you, Bruno, and Lee were doing it. And then I got confused and thought, oh, I'm not on it. So I thought, well, I'll head on out then. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, I am on it. Right. And I was like, oh, damn.
Microphone check.
Bruno, you there?
Microphone check. Check 1, 2. I'm here.
Awesome. Dave, Mondo Dave?
Testing.
Awesome. And you're being recorded already, so I'm going to keep the recording going. Just bring Brandon into this, and then we'll go straight into it. I'm pretty sure it's recording. I've got recording on. So, yeah, and I can just edit this conversation. I can cut this off when I edit it.
So Brandon? When do Chris and Casey come in and introduce themselves?
We need an order, don't we? So well, I've got a completely different screen. Who's happy to go after me? Who wants to go second?
I'll go. I'll get mine out of the way.
All right, so I'm first. Lee second. Bruno, you third?
I'll be third.
Brandon fourth, as before?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mondo fifth?
Sure.
After that, we'll have Chris, because I know you're on the move. We'll get you in. And then, Cowboy, do you mind being last?
That's fine with me. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Hey, there's the Cajun.
Howdy.
Right, I'm going to get it going.
Thousands in attendance, and the millions watching around the world. From the capital city of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Oh, how cheesy was that, and it even cut out. I'll do that again, I'm sorry. It's only 30 seconds. Terrible.
Millions watching around the world.
Big time technical difficulties. Should we just go straight into it without that?
I'm ready to rumble.
We get there.
You know, I'm actually playing that off Voxer, because any way I could get it on. Here we go. Welcome to the first ever episode of WRTS, Wrestling Radio Talk Show. I'm one of your hosts, Anko, from a very snowy London at the moment. This podcast has a very distinct transatlantic flavour. What unites us all is that we're big wrestling fans, and I am joined by...
I am Lee from Hertfordshire in the UK.
How you doing, everybody? Bruno here from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Guys, how we doing? This is Brandon, the franchise buck, over here at Pittsburgh, Kansas.
This is Mondo Curry, Dave Mondo Curry, here in New York.
Yo, and this is Chris, aka C Nation, from sunny Southampton, England.
Hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. This is Casey, the Cajun Cowboy Collins, from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, there's loads of us in here. It's pretty packed, and usually it'd probably be less of us here, but it's a good way to start the show. And I just want to start off by putting Lee and Bruno on the spot. Can you do you mind listening to this real quickly and maybe explaining yourselves afterwards?
Okay.
You all right with that, Bruno?
All right.
How you all doing tonight, Tal? Bruno here from the RTS. And this is a Bruno concert. To you. You get punk.
But the ending is always the same. I prove again why I'm the best in the world and retain the title that has been handed for over a year now. But things will not change.
That's right, the great one, the great Bruno's gonna lead the millions and millions of the great ones fans to you. We're gonna come to you in Phoenix, Arizona, and we're gonna whip your candy ass, and we're gonna take the championship back home.
That's right, Rocky, this isn't the same place as it used to be. This is my turf now. I'm the leading man. So do yourself a favor and know your damn role.
The smell of what Bruno is cooking!
I wanted to play that as a way of introducing you both. Because I came to meet you both on Tout, and I was seeing you both do that kind of thing, and I just thought it was really cool, basically.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, if I could just say as fast as I could, I discovered Tout. When I first discovered Tout, I got on there. I can remember like if it was yesterday, and I see this title on this bed, and I hear a voice talking to somebody saying, how he's the best in the world, and that title's his. And I found out it was Mr. Lee Tomlin, and I just had to let him know that the big guy has finally come to Tout, and he was going to take his title away from
me. You still there, Lee?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, it was an innocent tout. Somebody had put on asking what your favorite piece of WWE memorabilia was that you owned, and I showed my title, and then this gentleman here, Bruno, started running his mouth at me, and he has been ever since, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, when I first got on tout, I thought to myself, there's a lot of youngsters on here, and there's a lot of I don't know. I was finding it hard to find other adults or people around the same age as me, and I definitely remember seeing Bruno. I just thinking this guy doing rock impressions, and I just thought it was really funny, man. I'm really, since then it feels like a long time ago, because since then I've got to know you guys really well, you know. And Lee, I'll be meeting you at the when Raw comes to London in April, and same with Chris, who's, I think he's been cut off at the moment, but he might join us again soon. But we've come a long way since then. And after you two were kind of having a back and forth, I think the third person I remember coming in, and he was showing us all these places. Are you still there, Casey Cowboy?
Yes, sir, I am here.
I remember in the early days you showing us some arenas or some stadiums in Louisiana. Is that right?
Yes, I was, if I remember correctly, I was at Independent Stadium here in Freeport, Louisiana. And actually, Bruno and I were going back and forth because I'd seen Bruno, and I had contacted him because I had this all-American Mexican guy, that's another guy under a mask named El Rato, coming at me. Well, I got a hold of Bruno and said, hey, man, why don't you shoot something to this guy? And from there, it all started with him and El Rato, and then Bruno and I got into it, and the rest is history.
So I guess the listeners who have not been on Tout or not familiar with who you all are, who we all were, basically you're a bunch of wrestling fans who started using Tout to promo with one another. And it's obvious that kind of Lee as UK Punk is mimicking what CM Punk does, and Bruno being The Rock. Where did you get your inspiration from, Casey?
Well, you know, I mean, it was just a spur of the moment, really, kind of thing. There's no, like, I'm not trying to be Cowboy James Storm of TNA. It's just when the El Rato guy came at me that first time, I went in my room and grabbed a cowboy hat and threw it on the head. It just came out and said, "I'm the Cajun Cowboy," and it all started from there. And it kind of just, I just rolled with it, and it's, and the train's just keeping on going right now.
Bruno.
Yes.
You almost became the kind of go-to guy on Tout that everybody wanted to promo with, because you were playing such a popular WWE character, and you play him really well, and you've got a lot of features and characteristics that are the same. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it all happened a few years ago, where I was once told that I resembled The Rock, and I said to myself, I said, really, you know, and I knew I ever since I was young, I would always dress up as a wrestler. I remember using my mom's lipstick. Hold on. My mom's lipstick and drawing the Ultimate Warrior face mask on my face. And, you know, back then I had hair, I'd wet my hair, and I'd always do like imitate the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. I did that a lot. And I said, you know what? If they're saying I look like him, let me try to do his gimmick and everything. So I played with it for a bit and I got pretty good at it. And, you know, I would just go to bars and I'd get crowds of people around me, and I was pretty much a big hit. So I'm watching wrestling one day and I see this Tout thing. And I said, you know, let me back up a bit. I always wanted to try it on YouTube, but I didn't do it. And I saw this thing about Tout, and I said,
"Bruno, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Someone got some beeping in the background or something."
Oh yeah, hold on.
I thought it might be Bruno.
Yeah, it's that's my chicken enchiladas. They're done.
Yeah, we'll have to get into that at some point because you're quite a chef. But please carry on.
So when I saw this thing on Tout, I said, "You know what? This is it. It's being sponsored by WWE." Let me just run with this. And the first promo I did was to CM Punk, and I said, "Finally, Bruno." Finally, and at this point, I was just doing The Rock, because at this point, I was just impersonating The Rock, you know. And I said, "Finally, The Rock has come back to tell you, CM Punk, that I'm gonna bring the WWE Championship back home." And I got a hit back from a couple people, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to continue rolling with it. And when I saw Lee, I pitched it to him, and I saw that he came back and he was going with it. And I said, all right, this is it. This guy knows I'm just doing, he's a wrestling fan. He knows I'm doing some promos at him. I'm going to keep rolling with it. And man, the rest is history.
Awesome. And then a bit later on, I don't know if Chris is there. Are you still there, Chris? No. Then after Chris came Brandon. Brandon, you there?
Yes, sir.
When did you come onto Tout? Because I only remember you being there more recently, perhaps in the past 6 weeks.
You know, I got in probably after it was advertised on Monday Night Raw, and I was actually. Carrying the iPhone 4S at the time, so I was one of the platforms that was able to carry Tout. Didn't know what it was all about or whatever. I thought it was weird because I'm used to writing my statuses instead of actually physically saying it onto a camera. And I get on Tout, and I'm just doing my thing, you know, doing my little, "Hey, Touters, what's going on?" And sure enough, there were two individuals that were nice enough to say hello to me, and one of the main guys that I saw on Tout doing their thing was Bruno and Lee doing their doppelgangers of The Rock and CM Punk, and then another individual playing the role of John Cena. So that was basically the main thing that got me hooked on it all, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, it's actually pretty entertaining, really. and the funny thing is that there's a few people who are on town just to see what I have to post on there. They don't tout at all, but they just have a tout account just to see what I post. And they always mention to me, like, oh, that Bruno guy, he killed it the other day. In fact, that was one of our conversations yesterday, one of his impressions. So it was basically mainly just something brand new. And it was also because of the fact that there are so many people just around the world who were wrestling fans, who were imitating, big names in the WWE that really got me hooked. And that's basically the main reason why I got on tap.
I would have liked to have got Chris on here, but he's been cut off from this conversation, but we'll get him on soon. But apart from you guys and a few other people, something I personally really like seeing on TAO, especially recently, is some of the younger wrestling fans. I'm not exactly sure how old they are, but they're possibly from 5 until the teen years. And just watching them doing wrestling moves on pillows and talking about the current stars the way I probably used to talk about the Macho Man and other wrestlers, it kind of reminds me what it's like being a kid who's into wrestling. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I did that, guys. When I was younger, I remember when my parents would leave, whether if it was out to do groceries, out to church, and I'd stay home. That's what I was doing. I was jumping off of her. We all there? I jump off of her bureau onto her bed with this pillow. And, when I see these little kids doing it, it literally does. It takes you back to being a kid. And what gets me the most is when guys got to get on there and say, all TAO is a bunch of little kids wrestling with pillows trying to be wrestlers. You know what? These guys are entertaining themselves. They're entertaining their age group. And pretty much they're entertaining me because, like I said, it just takes you back to when you were a kid and you know what they're doing. So it's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Dave, I know you've not been on TAO, I don't think, but...
No, I'm feeling quite left out right now. But I admire all the activity that you guys are doing and using this thing that WWE set up to, stir up some community of your own.
Yep, definitely. It's led to this, and I'm guessing after this conversation you might check these guys out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm already being thrilled, but talking to The Rock. I mean, if I hadn't known otherwise, I would have thought he was on the line right about now.
Do you quickly want to give our listeners your TAO details, so if people do want to find you on TAO?
Oh, pardon me.
Bruno and Lee, if you want to give your TAO addresses.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. For me, it would be Bruno Melky 36. That's Bruno as in Bruno, Melky as in Melky Cabrera. So you should know how to spell that, 36.
Mine is just simply UK Punk.
And Brandon, for the record, where can they find you? Where can our listeners find you?
If you want to find me on TAO, it's going to be under Brandon the Franchise Buck, and you're going to see a goofy looking kid with either a beard or a goatee or clean shave. I kind of noticed that I've evolved in the previous TAOs with my facial hair, which only takes about 2 weeks. So
awesome. And Dave, I know you're not on TAO, but where can people find you?
Well, at the moment, I'm throwing some usually smart alecky comments on Twitter under the Mondo Curry moniker. No spaces.
Okay, moving away from TAO and our own contact details, I'm going to play a quick clip from a recent episode of Raw, and hopefully we can talk about that as a group. I think we've lost Casey, but we might be able to get him back on the line soon.
Because this isn't Candyland, I'm like nobody you've ever faced before. You can make fun of the color of my t-shirt, and you can talk about pie, and you can sing songs, and you can rhyme, and you can do your tired, lame-ass shtick. I just want you to know that come Royal Rumble, and you have about 3 weeks to realize this, I'm going to kick your ass because I'm the best in the world. I'm the best thing going today. I'm the best guy you've ever stepped foot in the ring with. And you need to understand, congratulations, Rock. You just graduated from the kiddie table, but you just bit off more than you can chew. You're playing Little League with your little insults and your rhymes and millions and your fine leagues. And I'm in the big leagues, and I'm swinging for the fence. You need to understand that your little jabs and your insults, it's all kiddie games. You can't leave a mark on the champ's face. Come Royal Rumble, understand, when you step in the ring, your arms are just too short to box with God. You may think that The Rock is boxing with God, but The Rock knows for a fact you are going one-on-one with the Great One. Don't you think for one single solitary second that The Rock doesn't know how bad you are, how dangerous you are, how tough you are. The Rock knows that 414 days. The Rock knows. The last time we're in the middle of this ring, you hit The Rock with a GTS and you knocked him out cold as a block of ice. The Rock didn't forget it. You hurt The Rock. You embarrassed The Rock. He said it before, he'll say it again in 20 days. Time's up.
That was a clip from Monday Night Raw, I think 2 weeks ago now. And that was like a really long promo between The Rock and Punk. And I know this week's past episode of Raw, there wasn't really much talking. They just started scrapping pretty much after The Rock was on the mic for a bit. Just wanted to ask you all, who do you think got the best of those promos? Who got the one up? Lee?
I don't know. They're two sort of the way they cut their promos is completely different. Obviously, The Rock goes down more like the comedy sort of route, and CM Punk's, I think it's better. He's gone back to his more sort of intense heel sort of side instead of being his sort of wormy character. So I don't know. It's quite hard to tell who's sort of got the one up at the minute, in my opinion, anyway.
Dave?
Generally fascinated by Punk, and I'm curious what you guys think of something. I always feel like CM Punk has this way about him where you're never quite sure if he's being that character that operates outside the system or if he's really operating outside the system. I've never heard The Rock speak so little compared to the other guy he's working against.
Right.
Do you think the Punk like managed to take time away from The Rock that he would normally be going off?
I personally think that whoever goes up against The Rock, I think they're WWE are well aware that it has to be somebody that can definitely play ball with him because he's one of the best ever on a microphone, and I think they had to work very hard to get John Cena to be on his level, although I think Cena pulled it off. What do you think of Bruno?
Well, I think that as up to date, as far as the promos have gone, I think that Punk has pretty much owned it. And here's the thing about Punk. Punk, like Mondo says, you got to wonder, how much are they giving Punk to be himself? Because his character is so believable. I almost feel sometimes that this guy isn't a happy, jolly-go-lucky guy in real life. I mean, to me, that's how, as far as that, I find that he sells his character almost to reality. And I agree with Lee, as far as The Rock, you know, his stuff is more comedy. It's almost like he's doing it to advertise himself in Hollywood, saying I'm funny. But on the same token, the Great One, when he gets damn serious, he can put it to you really good. So, but pretty much, I think as far as promoing going right now, I'd have to give it to Punk.
Yeah, I think Punk probably has a little bit more creative space than other superstars, but I still think he is a company guy, otherwise he wouldn't be there. I mean, I've heard him say a few things on other podcasts and on certain interviews he's done, which would lead you to think he's definitely doing his own thing. He's going out and getting his own gigs, I think, with Marvel Comics and other places. He's done some independent stuff. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think to be at that level, you've got to play ball with the company. And I think he toes the line really well. He gives the hardcore wrestling fans a glimpse of, you know, the old days where people had more creativity and it was less scripted. But Brandon, one thing that I found is that although on the mics, sometimes The Rock could appear very dated and CM Punk definitely appears more fresh. I mean, The Rock reminds me of The Rock when he was feuding in the Attitude Era with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Not much of his character's changed, but what about the physical difference between them? Because it's really remarkable. I mean, The Rock's arm is literally as big as CM Punk.
you got to remember, back in the Attitude Era, Dwayne Johnson was, you know, a stout guy. I mean, he looked like he just got out of the University of Miami, and he didn't have any real definition to him at all. He takes a break from the WWE. He goes into Hollywood. He does his thing. You know, he's in the gym about maybe 6-7 days a week, and he's on a very strict diet. And then all of a sudden, you know, 7 years later, he shows up getting ready for WrestleMania. He's just absolutely cut. And the physical difference between them, yeah, Dwayne, you know, Punk would eat it. Absolutely.
It's almost as though they're in, if it was boxing, they'd be three weight divisions apart.
Absolutely.
Exactly. This is where I come to the conclusion how they're going to sell the fact. If Punk walks out champion, come Royal Rumble, they have to sell it by, I don't know, I just find it hard to believe a little guy compared to The Rock, a little guy like that, being able to destroy The Rock and pin him 1-2-3. They have to find some way to sell that really good, and it's got it most likely would have to be an interference by Brock Lesnar or by The Shield. But for them to have Punk beat him clean is not going to be convincing in my thought.
What about if it was via a submission?
I wouldn't buy it, and I'm going to echo what I believe Brandon was just saying. I've noticed the recent history with Punk. He has no problem being that guy that's on top by hook or by crook. He doesn't seem all that fussed by the fact that, you know, he's winning by interference. He's winning by, you know, circumstance. And I think that's got to be the way it goes down tonight.
Yeah, that's interesting, Dave, because I think that when Punk was kind of getting really hot, he started off as this pipe bomb dropping anti-hero, and then somewhere within that he becomes your classic sneaky heel. I mean, what do you think about that as in terms of his character developing from here? Dave,
I think he's got to be the bad guy. Like, he's really got to be the bad guy, and maybe creative altogether, they're just really trying to keep him from getting over with the fans, or getting over more as that classic heel, as you say. And it was a little bit of a turning point for me as far as interest in his character. I really liked when he was that anti-hero kind of riding the line.
Yeah. How about you, Lee, since you're you closely follow CM Punk?
Like I say, I mean, it's a lot better when he's, I don't know, kind of trusted a bit more, I think, like to just sort of do his own thing.
Absolutely.
A bit more. It's like you've seen his promos he did with Mick Foley as well. I mean, they were quite sort of intense and passionate as well. So I think he should just be sort of left to a certain extent to sort of do his own thing.
Yeah. That basically leads me to ask you all, who saw the recent promos from Stone Cold Steve Austin on YouTube? They were a little
bit. I don't know. If I could just back up a little bit.
Sure.
I want to talk about the Stone Cold because that was mind blowing. But just think about it, guys. You know, they're giving CM Punk the stage and the floor to you know, push the envelope a bit. But just think about if they gave that to more guys in the back room, how entertaining wrestling would be again. Because these guys are giving scripts. And I mean, the 3MB thing, I can't buy it. I don't know if you guys are fans of it, but it's kind of hard for me to believe seeing these three guys being a rock band. They totally destroyed Drew McIntyre's character along with Jinder Mahal. They should have just left it with Carrot Top and he could have sold it on his own. You know what I mean? But just to say, if there were more guys in the back, even females, given the opportunity to run with their own character, like if they were Stone Cold, Triple H, The Rock back in the days, it would be much more entertaining than it is now.
I've got to agree with you. I mean, I would love to see people like Damian Sandow and Dean Ambrose just being given free reigns, basically. But who actually saw the Stone Cold promo? It was only a couple of days ago.
I sure did.
Any thoughts, Brandon?
Oh, it was amazing. Now, granted, there was a little tag that said this was a parody, but if you imagine something similar to that on, whether it be, you know, like what they did when WWE 13 came out, and it was Jim Ross, CM Punk, and Steve Austin all in the same room, they're talking about how Steve ruled the Attitude Era and Punk rules today's era, and how they were staring at each other one-on-one like they were, like this was a teaser of how they were going to go at it. If this was something that was being advertised now on television for, say, Rumble or Elimination Chamber or, more importantly, WrestleMania, if this was going on, this would absolutely be epic. Yesterday's Attitude Era versus today's Attitude Era, going at it one-on-one in the ring. People would buy it.
Absolutely. That promo had money written all over it.
Could somebody give a little bit more background on the promo? I take it this is Steve going on his own completely, right?
Absolutely, it was. It was Steve Austin. It kind of looked like he was in his backyard. You know, it was just a little fenced area. You know, he's just cutting a promo about how CM Punk stinks. He, you know, it literally stinks. Here's some shampoo. Wash your greasy hair. Here's toothpaste. Brush your teeth. Obviously, plenty of explicits that only Steve Austin can do. And it was so real. Even though it said parody on it, it was so real that even somebody who's been in the business before, still is, who's been a wrestling fan since 1991, it caused me to mark out because it was just that good.
I mean, given the kind of language that was used in that promo, do you see this being a build up to a more edgy non-PG WWE, or am I getting my hopes up? And is it building towards Punk and Austin at WrestleMania? Because there must be a reason for this promo to have come out.
Exactly, and if it is a parody, who is he talking to begin with? It's so well gelled together, but I think there's not enough time to promote it for any pay-per-view within the first half of 2013. So maybe it could be building up to next year's WrestleMania. So, but it definitely had me shocked and wishing that, you know, the ball was getting rolled a lot faster than what we can ever imagine. So,
Casey, are you back in this conversation? No, the Cowboys. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here now.
I thought you fell off your horse.
it bucked me off a couple times, but I'm back for now. I hope it don't buck me off again. So
we were just talking about the Austin promo that was on YouTube. What do you think the purpose of that was for?
Oh, I mean, it definitely. I mean, everything, you know, especially in WWE, is to draw attention for money. Now, you know, like y'all heard y'all talking about, should it be a build up? I think definitely it's got something. Something's going on with that. It's just not him, you know, ranting on. Even though if it quote unquote is a parody, somebody that knows exactly what they're doing put that thing together in just the right piece and just the right places. And there's a purpose for it. There is definitely a purpose for that happening. Now, granted, if it happens this year or at WrestleMania 30 or whenever, it can't be too far down the line because Steve's neck and all that, you know, the older you get, the, you know, it's taking more of a chance to get in that ring. And I believe Punk would, you know, protect him in there. But, you know, it's got to come or it wouldn't come out.
Sure. Well, I guess since this is our first episode and it's a kind of a pre-Rumble episode, I just wanted to ask Dave, have you got any memories of the Royal Rumble?
The Royal Rumble has always been my favorite event just because of the unconventional, you know, WTF. You've got 30 guys coming in every 2 minutes. And I think back then, you know, when I was still a kid, you know a lot less of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Sure, and there being less information out there on the internet and whatnot. Sorry to interrupt you.
I don't know if it's just that, but it really seemed like back then it could be anybody winning. And in fact, my first memory of a Royal Rumble event was Bret Hart, when I believe he was still a mid-carder, walking away with it, or almost walking away with it.
I'm trying to remember what year that was.
And I hope I'm not just like taking this from some twisted dream I once had and making it a reality. I thought it was him and that blast from the past, Bad News Brown, in the
I'll help you out on that. My memory of wrestling is very good. That was actually WrestleMania 4, the tournament, which was a 30-man battle royal for a trophy. It was the last three participants were Bret the Hitman Hart, Bad News Brown, and Junkyard Dog. Well, they teamed up and got rid of Junkyard Dog, threw him out. They were standing in the ring holding both hands up like they wanted together. Bad News Brown did a little turn, I'm turning my back, which put Bret Hart to being a face and threw him over the top rope. Then Bad News Brown won that battle royal. Bret Hart came in and whipped his ass and broke the trophy.
Was that the one, Dave?
Oh, boy, it was. And for years and years, this is like therapy because I've been calling that a Rumble event to, you know, whoever I happen to talk to about.
That's an easy mistake to make. I guess battle royals and Rumbles are quite similar. And I always get that looking back at things when I was 5 or 6 years old. The memory's very hazy and I've misplaced things.
And to me, that was still the spirit of the Rumble. You know, anything could happen. Anybody could end up on top. And, definitely one of the top events.
Well, if you look back at the very first Royal Rumble, the guy that won was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I think at that time, if they knew that the Royal Rumble was going to be what it is today, they probably wouldn't have given it to him. I don't know. You know, they probably would have given it to someone that was more well known. Although Hacksaw Jim Duggan was a U.S. guy, you know, he came out with the 2x and represented the United States. So maybe at that particular time, back in that day, that's who they did, in fact, want to win and trend the Royal Rumble.
You know, that's interesting, Bruno, because I was confused as to that as well, why it was Hacksaw. And obviously they may have been thinking of giving him a push at the time, but I've forgotten which legends it was, but apparently Hacksaw Jim Duggan was a much better wrestler than we actually saw, and he was told to wrestle that style by the WWF. I've really forgotten who it was that said that, but it may have even been the likes of Bruno Sammartino or basically a legend who had said that. Mm-hmm. But my personal favorite memory is probably I think it was 91 where Ric Flair won the Royal Rumble. I think he drew number 3 and right. He just seemed to be in there for forever. And I think partly it was Flair's performance and Bobby Heenan on commentary, which just It's probably my favorite pay-per-view because it actually feels like a genuine sporting contest. And it wasn't too long after the point where Flair came in with the NWA WCW title, and just seeing that on WWF TV at the time was massive. You couldn't tell if it was real, or it was, again, that moment of blurring reality and storyline.
Right.
Does anyone remember that?
That was actually over in 1992 in Albany, New York. I believe 91 was Hogan in where was it? Miami, right. Florida.
It must have been 92 then. I remember it was definitely in New York somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you all, who have you got as your pick for this year's Rumble winner? Casey?
I think somebody lower down, but maybe a Wade Barrett or something that needs a push, just to get him some more spotlight, someone in that kind of category. Because like I heard y'all talking about earlier, partly when I got bucked off my horse, there's some young guys back there, and they need a push. And I think the Royal Rumble is just a prime place to get that push started. I mean, I know he won the title from Kofi and all that, but you know, there's bigger things to do than just that title. So,
but you think his time might be now?
Yeah, I like Wade Barrett.
Okay, Lee.
Unfortunately, because he's already got the Money in the Bank briefcase, but they obviously, I don't know why they've held out so long, but I'd like to see maybe Dolph Ziggler win it. He needs a push. It's about time he got his push, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's keeping an eye on that, and it's a pot that's overboiling for a long time. Dave, yourself, Mondo Dave, who have you got for the Rumble winner?
Well, let me clarify something. Do we still have a situation where the winner is going to WrestleMania? Or is that Survivor Series? Am I making a big fudge again?
No, you're quite right.
Yeah, then I have to go with, even though it's certainly not my favorite, certainly not the most interesting, but Feed Me More. I don't know if they're clear what they would do with him, but I think he's definitely going to have a very high up slot in WrestleMania. And I think that's their way of securing it, making it happen.
I think I was going to say exactly that. I was thinking of Ryback as the winner. That was my pick too. How about you, Bruno?
I think Sheamus is going to take it 2 years in a row. I think come the Elimination Chamber, Orton will win it, win the title, and they're going to build up with Sheamus and Orton. You could see it happening slowly. You know, the grimace looks at each other, not agreeing with one what the other one says. And it'll be Randy Orton defending the World Heavyweight title against Sheamus at WrestleMania.
Right. Brandon, finally?
You know, it's going to come down to two different scenarios, in my opinion. You're going to, you know, when it comes to pushes, you're going to have your highs and lows. You're going to have people like The Miz and Ziggler and Wade Barrett and, you know, whoever. And I just honestly think something's itching at me, but I honestly think that this is going to be the year that things change. And John Cena is going to have something, you know, involved with him. Now, granted, if it gets to the point of Ziggler and Cena, I can see it more as Cena winning, just because of the fact that Ziggler has his Money in the Bank briefcase. He has until, I believe, June or July, until that deal expires. But I want to definitely put my money on Cena. For some odd reason, it's itching at me, and I think he's going to do it.
Okay, we've got some interesting picks there. Nobody mentioned the Nation of Domination throwback, Big E Langston.
Big E Langston over like Santino Marella and all the mid carders, but the big guys will get together and toss his butt right over the top. I think Brandon, I think you have a point there as far as Cena winning. For me, that's almost like a dead-on happening, so to speak. When I say, when I think of Sheamus, it's something that I'm thinking of in my head that could possibly happen, whereas Cena winning is almost guaranteeing if The Rock, if I'll put it to you this way, if The Rock defeats CM Punk before the Rumble, usually the Rumble is the last event, I would say that Cena's going to win that Rumble and they're going to build up to the rematch.
And Dave, I just wanted to bring you in. What do you see happening with The Shield?
The Shield is a group who I see their popularity skyrocketing. I express some cynicism towards them, but I am seeing how they're a pretty powerful force. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I do think they've got to resolve this thing between them and Ryback. At some point, maybe at the Rumble, maybe start something new for them. I don't think they're going to be winning it, for sure, but I do think they'll probably be in that final group that hovers and makes someone's life miserable at the end.
Yeah, I can definitely see a whole bunch of angry superstars like Randy Orton and all the other people the Shield ever attacked, and them grouping up at the Rumble to eliminate Shield members, them being having targets on their back, pretty much.
What if the Shield, could they be the first three guys eliminated? How is that even possible if their numbers 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 come out and toss them right over?
I guess if they were the first three guys in there, they'd work as a team and eliminate everybody else that comes down. That's my immediate thought.
Right. I don't see them getting tossed over even if they're 1, 2, and 3. They're going to last a while, and they're going to, like Hanko just said, they're going to team up with a couple people, or not team up with each other, so to speak, and toss other people right over that rope and cause some of the favorites some trouble.
Yeah. Lee, what about your favorite wrestler, John Cena? Where do we see him go?
don't give me size. Unfortunately, yes. I mean, I've heard the rumors that it sounds like he's going to win the Rumble and probably go on to face The Rock at WrestleMania. Which, unfortunately, the first one was supposed to be billed as once in a lifetime, but it's more than likely going to happen again. I just wanted to add, maybe, what about Brock Lesnar winning the Royal Rumble was a surprise thing right at the end, and him going on to WrestleMania and facing The Rock. I've heard rumours about that could be a possibility of that happening at Mania.
Yeah, I guess so, but I almost feel like the Brock doesn't need that to justify him being in a main event at WrestleMania, but I guess anything can happen.
I just see he's got to get back involved somewhere, somehow.
Hasn't he got that feud going on with Triple H that's still unresolved?
Well, I think that was kind of resolved in a way. I mean, for them to drop it the way they did, I don't see the point of bringing it back. They let too much time go by.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they've left it too long, I think.
They did.
It's dead. Like, I don't even remember. Like I said to you guys on Voxer, I didn't even remember who won that match, that last match between them. I can see Brock Lesnar making a surprise entrance into the Royal Rumble. You guys know where I'm going with this. And then having The Undertaker make a surprise and just going straight after Brock Lesnar. You guys got to remember that UFC event where them two guys were eyeing each other. Like, it needed to happen. The Undertaker is a big UFC fan, but he was too old to get involved. So it was sort of like, all right, man, you're here doing your thing, but come back to my yard so I can kick your ass type deal. You know what I mean? So I can see them both showing up at the Rumble as surprise entrants, because you got to remember, they always give leave a couple numbers not taken for surprise entries, you know? And I could just see The Undertaker coming back, and that gives them enough time. It's January, you give February, March. That's 2 months to build up to them two at WrestleMania.
That was also a long time ago as well, as a Triple H and Brock Lesnar storyline was as well. But you never know what happens. I mean, at one point they had Kevin Nash promoing with CM Punk for a couple of weeks, and suddenly that fell to the wayside, and then Triple H came in for that ladder match with with Nash. So it's quite interesting that anything can happen. Do you mind if I just move on to asking about the World Heavyweight Championship, Del Rio and Big Show? What are your thoughts on that, Casey?
Well, you know, I mean, Del Rio recently won the title from Big Show, and you know, I think Del Rio, I got mixed emotions about him. He just, it's like he just stays in the same, if he's face or heel, he just stays in the same pace as far as drawing, I guess you would say, because, I mean, I think he's really talented, but it's just how much more can you go with this character he's got? I mean, it's the same, if he's a heel or face, it's the same quote unquote attitude. I'm the rich, you know, aristocrat, that kind of deal. I think they're gonna keep it on him though at Royal Rumble, because Big Show, let's face it.
I think Cowboys fell off his horse again.
Ooh, right, I mean, right during the big reveal. Sorry. That was some cliffhanger there.
Now we're on edge.
I think we've got Casey back. Casey, you there?
Oh, I was off.
Yeah, you cut off briefly.
I was talking. Okay. Where was I at?
You were talking about Del Rio being, I think, a bit stale, whether heel or face.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like he can't get over the hump. He's trying to get there, and something's just holding him back, where he just can't progress with his character, because it's the same old every week, every month, even though we just won the title. But I think he's got to win at Royal Rumble, because if you give the title back to Big Show, what else can he do? Because the Big Show is, I mean, this is fake. I mean, Big Show don't have enough charismatic capabilities to keep the crowd interested for a long period of time.
Uh-oh. Sing it, my cowboy. Sing it.
He's doing dubstep right now.
Big words for a Louisiana guy. So there you go.
I think this is what happens when we have so many people in one chat, but this is a special first episode. Mondo Dave, one of our favorites, is...
Well, this actually might open up a whole other can of worms or whoop-ass. I'm not sure which. I saw the match between Show and Del Rio. I admit to marking out. I didn't see Del Rio as a credible face, but I started getting behind him. I liked it. At the same time, I didn't like the outcome of that match. I thought they took the title from Big Show and they pushed Del Rio to the top too soon. Now with this match tonight, I don't think they're going to take the belt away from Del Rio so soon. I don't think they should. I see the Big Show being really upset from things that have happened recently, and maybe he loses his temper, maybe he gets DQ'd.
Sure, I was actually, I wanted to move on just because of time. I was actually going to ask you about one of our favorites, the Rhodes Scholars and Hell No. Team Hell No, sorry. I got Stone Cold on my mind, but yeah, what do you think? Do you think the tag titles will go to the Rhodes Scholars?
I'd sure like to see that happening, but I think Team Hell No is just going to keep going with their scene. I think they're going to keep holding on to the belts for a while.
As far as the tag team division go, I know that I've read today, actually, that the team that I like to call, and a few people have called, Carsterio, Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, that they'll both be in the actual Rumble match. So I'm just wondering, Brandon, where do you see the tag title division going?
You know, it's one of those deals that is just so spastic, really, with the tag team division. It's been a long time since we've had a good tag team division, and right now it's stable. With Rhodes, you know, Rhodes Scholars, indefinitely they are going to get the titles. I don't know if it's going to be at the Royal Rumble. I don't know if it's going to be at on free TV. I don't know when it's going to be, but they are very, very close to getting those titles. They've got the push, they've got the charisma, they've got the motions that I think WWE wants to go with, and it's definitely going to happen soon, more sooner than later, so to speak.
Bruno, I'd like to talk to you about divas.
That's more my talk.
His favorite topic.
What is going on with the Divas division? Because I a few months back, or maybe it was a bit longer now, I was just so happy to see Karma and the way things were going with Karma. Then I guess she dropped her own kind of pipe bomb and said she was, I think she said she was pregnant at the time. She leaves, the Bella Twins leave, two of our favorites, I think, Bruno. Kelly leaves, Beth Phoenix leaves, and now Eve Torres, I understand she's engaged to, is it Renee Gracie, and she'll be the face of the women's self-defense for the Gracie camp now. So we're left with hardly any divas left. What do you see happening to that division? Are they going to scrap that division? What are they doing?
Well, I was a bit disappointed how the whole Karma thing went down. I think in the beginning, the way they were selling her coming in and terrifying everyone was pretty good. And I mean, when you look at the division now and you see who's left, you're talking AJ, Caitlin. I'm a fan of Caitlin's for a little bit. I'm trying to feel what she's gonna do next. But you have AJ, Caitlin, La Rosa, and I don't know what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to figure out Tamina. I think, if I remember correctly, Triple H is not a big fan of pushing the divas with his control that he has. And I think it's a shame because these girls are, you know, doing the same work that these guys are doing, and they're putting in all this effort to make a name for themselves. And kudos to TNA for giving the spotlight to them, you know?
I definitely like the Divas division. I hope they do keep it going, and there's enough TV time to have plenty of slots for them as well. I mean, one thing that Mondo, Dave, and myself were talking about recently was the use of AJ and her character. Is there anything you want to say about that, Mr. Mondo?
It's a weird character, and it kind of speaks to what you're saying about the WWE not being as supportive as it should about divas wrestling. I don't see AJ going back into the ring, at least not that much. And it almost seems like it's because she's graduated past that. I'd love to hear how you fellas think about it. I think it's a little twisted that a diva can be too high up to, you know, be in the ring wrestling, but it seems like she's going to be running amok between Cena and Ziggler and whatever other guys end up in that top spot area. And yeah. I do hope that some more divas come in that get some actual ring time.
Yeah, it definitely feels like she's being used in all these different triangles. So you got any thoughts, Lee?
Yeah, I was just going to say on AJ, I mean, what was it? Was it about, I don't know, maybe a year ago when she became like, obviously, like really hot and that, and was really popular around on the scene. And now it just seems that WWE, the past few months, they're trying to keep her there, like on that sort of high level, but they don't really know what to do with her. So they're just trying to stick her in all these different places. But they need to find something more solid to do with her. Like the whole GM thing, that seemed kind of rushed. That could have been interesting. See, you know. Let her do a bit more with that, and then that suddenly ended. And now all of a sudden she's back in, you know, like you say, another sort of triangle again between Ziggler and Cena. And it just seems they don't really know what to do with her, but they want to keep her at like a sort of high level.
Anybody else got thoughts? Casey, Brandon?
With the whole AJ thing, with how she's been put on a pedestal. I love the fact that, you know, when she was involved in Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, there was that deal where she pushed Punk off the top rope and landed on Bryan through the table, and you see AJ closing the show. I think it was JR on Twitter who said it best. How many WWE divas in known history do you know of that have that reputation for closing the show on Monday Night Raw? And I think that's how much faith, you know, how much they believe in AJ. And it seems like the character's gone a little bit stale now, especially since, you know, Dolph is kind of carrying AJ and Big E Langston. But I absolutely love the character. I think it fits her perfectly. I think with that kind of character, you can put it in so many situations that haven't even been discovered yet. And I think it's a good addition to today's era, so to speak, when it comes to character building.
Yeah, I think she was also the first diva in I can't remember when. Someone will have to check this up on Google, but she was the first diva on a pay-per-view poster in something like 10 years. She was on the No Way Out poster where she was pictured tying Daniel Bryan to the rail tracks. Casey, yourself, any thoughts? We're going to have to wrap up pretty soon because, believe it or not, we've hit an hour. So,
wow, that was fast. yeah, basically, the deal with AJ for me, I mean, I've seen her grow. Remember when she was, you know, quote-unquote best friends with Caitlyn, which, they came up together, so I don't doubt that they are really good friends, but her character development, as far as I see, has been pretty good. I mean, the interesting concepts of her being quote-unquote crazy, and she can pull it off with the best of them, because at times you're like, she really is a nut. But yeah, I don't know, like I think Lee said, I don't know if they really know where they're going with her, but as Brandon said, I think they could go a lot of ways with her, but they just got to find the right spot for her. I think she's going to be around for a long, long time, though.
I have to agree with you. I think AJ and Ziggler are probably two of the best general performers in the company, and I think that's probably why they've put a rookie like Big E Langston with the two of them, as well as giving a long feud with John Cena, because I think John Cena needs, like, one of the criticisms that we all hear about Cena is a you know, perhaps he doesn't sell very well. He doesn't sell when he's being beat up in the ring. He comes off a bit corny and a bit cheesy, to the adults at least. So I think placing him in a feud with those two is quite smart on the creative side.
So would you agree that it's time for Cena to go back heel?
If I was the company, I'd say it's too soon. I mean, there's no reason to delay it. And as a fan, I would like to see it, but I think it's too soon, Bruno.
Okay.
What do you reckon, Lee?
What's this about Cena?
Yeah, is it time to turn him heel?
I think it's been time for him to do something for a long, long time now. I think he needs sort of shaking up a bit. He's just getting... Obviously, he's like brilliant for the younger kids and stuff. But obviously, the more mature audience, I don't know. He needs something. He needs a bit of a shaking up to his character, and I think.
Sure, we've had pretty we've actually covered a lot of topics there, so I think we'll wrap things up. But hopefully, we'll have everyone back after the Rumble, and we can see whose predictions came out right, and where things will go between now and WrestleMania. I hope you all guys can make it back. If not for that episode, for future ones as well. And maybe when there's more time and less people in the chat room, we can have a more of an in-depth conversation, one-on-ones as well. Get to know some of you a bit better.
All right. Before we go, I don't want to expect the Royal Rumble down tonight. I think you kept referring to tonight. It's actually next Sunday, my man.
Yeah, I have actually no idea when we'll get this podcast out, being the first one, but I hope to get this podcast available online before the actual Rumble. If not, I guess people can listen to it as a way of, I don't know, looking back at history. or maybe we can just listen to ourselves on the podcast, and we'll be lucky if anyone else listens. But yeah, I do hope to get people on individually, and we can, I guess I can get to know you better, and the listeners can get to know you better and more about each of us individually. So I hope you guys can all join me again. And well, yep. Sometimes the listeners will be hearing yourselves hosting this show, not just me and us all co-hosting the show. The one person we haven't mentioned is Big Bubba Joe, Charles Ellis. He'll be doing an occasional WRTS roundtable, so he'll be hosting parts of the show. And you know, I'd like you all to eventually do what I'm doing. It'll be less work for me, and I can actually be interviewed and not conscious about things like time and introducing the show. Brandon, absolutely. Especially you, because I know you've got a background in this kind of thing.
Oh, too many years. Too many years.
Awesome. So with that being said, let's call it a night. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.